the world. I'm John Batchelor. From the surface of the planet Earth, we're staying at Boca Chica, Texas. Elon Musk, the mastermind of SpaceX and other enterprises, has sent out a tweet about what we're all waiting for, which is the release of Starship Super Heavy from the clutches of the FAA. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. Bob is not only going to tell us the content of the tweet, but what it means. Bob, a very good evening to you. And Musk says, please explain.
Yes, John, this is a complicated story, and it once again revolves around whether or not the Biden administration and the FAA is slow-walking Starship's attempt to do the second orbital test launch of Starship Super Heavy. Last week, the FAA said that it had closed its investigation, which is essentially just it looked at SpaceX's investigation of the April test launch that failed. And the FAA said that SpaceX has to complete 63 items to the FAA's satisfaction before it would issue a launch license. They don't have a launch license yet. Then over the weekend, Elon Musk tweeted out that SpaceX has actually completed and documented closing out 57 of the 63 items for the second flight. And he noted also that the six remaining items were actually items for future flights and something the FAA apparently understood. These were not going to be necessary for the second flight. What does this mean? Well, some people in the space industry are claiming, well, now it's all on SpaceX. They have to apply for a launch, modified launch license. And I don't believe that in the second. When SpaceX submitted its final investigation report in mid-August, I'm sure they then applied for a launch license simultaneously. We've completed our investigation, we've taken care of all the items, and we want a launch license. And the FAA has basically finished its investigation and said the things that have to be done were done, apparently. And so we're waiting for a launch license for the FAA, and we continue to wait. And this could happen any day. You know, we could be surprised. Like 10 minutes after this broadcast airs, SpaceX could get a launch license from the FAA. But it hasn't been issued, and it's not clear why. It's also unclear what modifications to the launch license that SpaceX is requesting are necessary from the FAA. They have a launch license for a series of launches, but obviously the next launch needs a modified request and application and then a new launch license. What those changes are, we don't know, and what SpaceX has to do to satisfy the FAA on that, we don't know. We're just going to have to sit and wait, John, and find out. I repeat, a lot of people seem to be thinking that there's total goodwill and sheer effort by the FAA. I personally note that this is a significant change for how the FAA was treating SpaceX during the Starship suborbital flights during the Trump administration. They did not have to go through this kind of long back and forth negotiations to get new launches going. They did them almost monthly. And here we have a situation where every launch requires big, long investigations and a lot of demands by the FAA, and they still don't launch. So we have to wait and see.
All right, Puzzle Bob. I was under the impression, as an amateur, that a deal of the investigation by the FAA was consistent with the launch pad that was wrecked with the blast off of Starship Heavy, sending sand everywhere, miles away, concrete shattered, and the rebuild of the launch pad with the system where it flushes with water as it's firing all engines. That was the major component. I don't see that mentioned anywhere here in these 63 changes. It's all about improving the engine or improving the avionics, the sort of thing that, as in rocket design.
So let me just get in here, John. For one, what we're looking at here has been a cleaned up list, and it's cleaned up to make it vague because a lot of this stuff is proprietary information from SpaceX. So for them to publish this list as they've published it, they had to clean it up and make it more vague. Some of these things do refer to the launch pad, but the launch pad wasn't the only item. Remember, the rocket once launched had problems. It didn't separate, didn't do separation. The engines didn't fire exactly. The flight termination system didn't destroy the rocket when initially. It took a few, like 40 seconds. And so those things had to be fixed too. So all these things list many of these things in, sometimes in specifics, like they use words that refer to part of the launch pad, but not say launch pad. Once again, SpaceX has taken care of all these items. There's, from what I can tell, there's no reason why the FAA should not have issued a launch license already, but hasn't. And then we just have to wait and see, and why not.
Do you? Is it your measure, Bob, that the FAA is inventing new protocols as we speak? That
this? I think the new protocols were invented when the Biden administration took over. That the old protocols were SpaceX would do the investigation with the FAA standing there watching and being involved. But once SpaceX said it was ready to go, the FAA would immediately say, go ahead. That's what under the Trump administration. When the Biden administration took over, suddenly new protocols were put in, and they decided to treat all these test launches as if it's an operational airline flight, and you have an airplane crashing, and we now have to get an investigation and a very detailed response. And once again, there's nobody at the FAA can actually provide any commentary here. They don't know anything. They can just say basically rubber stamp what SpaceX does. And they have to trust SpaceX to do it right. And SpaceX does do it right, so they should trust them. But the slowdown, the new protocols, I think, are totally from the Biden administration.
Who is Frank Rubio?
Frank Rubio is about to set a new record for an American in space. Frank Rubio is one of the three astronauts that were launched last year on a Soyuz capsule. They were going to do a six-month mission. Once they were in space, that Soyuz capsule developed a leak in its cooling system. And they decided they can't use that capsule to take the three people back in, what was it, about April, May, as originally planned. And so the Russians sent up a new Soyuz capsule about the time these people were supposed to come home, but the Russians did not want to immediately send that capsule back. They wanted to be able to use it for its full 6 months. And so suddenly, Rubio and his two partners, who came up in September of last year, were not doing a six-month mission. They were doing a year-long mission. And they're now both scheduled to come back on September 27th. Once they come back, they will spend 371 days in space, which is the third longest manned mission in history. This week, Rubio broke the record set by Mark Vanderhyde in 22 for the longest American flight, but he's still going for another week or so, 2 weeks. It is interesting to me that the two longest American flights, one by Rubio and the other by Mark Vanderhyde, both exceeding a year, well, not quite. Vanderhyde was just short of a year. Were actually instigated by the Russians, not by the Americans. NASA has always been resistant to doing these long year missions. When it did a long year mission finally by its own decision with Scott Kelly, it touted it as a year long mission, but he was almost a month short of a year. And so that was kind of embarrassing as far as I was concerned. Rubio's record is because of the Russians. Now, the Russians had a problem which caused this, but once they had the problem, they decided to take advantage of it and turn lemons into lemonade and get a year-long mission out of it. And the result is an American is going to fly more than a year. Rubio is going to probably take about a year to get completely normal after he comes back. That's the history that I've gotten from the Russians I've interviewed over the years for their long missions. Valery Polyakov, he spent 14 months in space and has the record. He's a doctor. He says it takes about equal to the time you were in space to recover on Earth. Many things change from cardiovascular to the bone density to your spinal cord, and it takes a long time to get completely back to normal, equivalent to the time you spent in space. You got to match it up. But for Rubio, within 2 or 3 months, he'll appear almost normal. He'll be able to walk and function almost normal, but he won't be normal for a good long time.
A significant date 1 year, Bob, because that is equivalent to a trip to Mars, some time on the surface, and then ready to take off again.
It's actually, it's only a portion. We got to remember, it might take a year to get there, 6 months to a year. You spend time there, you're not going to come back instantaneously, but then you got to repeat that coming home. So in truth, even a year-long mission doesn't give us the data for what a 2 to 3 year-long mission would be. And I'm not sure that's possible based on what we know right now about the harm that weightlessness does to the body over a year. We need to know more. It really does suggest that any first mission to Mars is going to really not land. They're going to fly past and come right back, and they will try to do it in as short a time as possible.
The early space race, you're explicating some hidden figures. What does that mean, Bob?
About 8 years ago, there was a book published called Hidden Figures, and it was a book that talked about how it's focused on three black individuals who were supposedly key to the early days of American history and were forgotten because of their race. One of whom was Katherine Johnson, a mathematician who worked at NASA in the 60s. She was given by Barack Obama the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 2015 because somehow it was said that she had been forgotten. She was absolutely a key figure in the 60s space race in planning the flight paths of the spacecraft to the moon, and she was completely ignored and forgotten, and because she was black. And of course, what I'm linking to is research and evidence that I knew existed, that in fact her hiring by NASA was NASA's effort to be a strong participant in the civil rights movement by bringing in qualified blacks to work on their program. And in fact, she wasn't a key figure. She was one of many who did this work, and she was treated fairly and with respect, but she wasn't the god that has been sold to us in the revisionist history of the last few years under Barack Obama and the revisionists.
We're headed to Mars. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.